That's my
ooh. Yeah, yeah. All right. I'll turn it on. All right, now. He was trying to get the volume up. It was my fault. If you got your Bible, we want to read in 1 Samuel chapter number 9 tonight. It's kind of a, I guess you're going to call it, I don't know, a Bible study. We're going to go through the whole chapter, but I'll tell you what's been going on in my heart and mind. I started reading and studying on the life of Saul, I guess, last summer. And about three different times, I actually outlined something on the life of Saul. And every time I would go back to it, I looked at it and it got bigger and it got bigger. And I realized there was so much here, maybe I wasn't giving it enough time to try to go through the life of Saul in one lesson. So I want to go through this chapter tonight. But I think what you'll find is there are so many lessons in this one chapter. Saul was the first king of Israel. And he was a man that was anointed and blessed by God. Now you know the story of Saul, the end, is it didn't turn out well for Saul. But I want to go through this, and if we get through a couple of these chapters, you'll realize it wasn't God's fault. Because God gave Saul so much. So I want to read this scripture, and he's going to, Brother Chris is going to put up on the screen. But I want to look at the first couple of verses, and then we'll talk about those tonight. But it says, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zorah, the son of Bichorah, the son of Abithai, a Benjamite and a mighty man of power. It says, and he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And something I want us to see right here in this, when it says he was a goodly, it means he was a superior person. And when it says he was higher, he was taller. Now here's what I want us to see here. I don't know what's going on with that. What I want us to see about Saul and what I want us to understand is that God had blessed Saul. It's kind of like this. Saul was a good-looking... Is this going to work or am I going to need to go to the other one? This was a good... He was a good-looking, smart person. Okay? Y'all have heard me say, if you were a good-looking, smart person, you really didn't have nothing to do with it. And I believe that with all my heart. If you've got a high IQ and you've got a lot of intellect and, you know, God has blessed you with whatever you got, God gave it to you. And here's something I want you to understand, I believe, about every person. David said in the book of Psalms, he said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That means that every person is uniquely created by God and special. Every person. Okay? We're living in a world today to where I don't think that's said enough. I don't think it's said enough to kids because sometimes what kids do and what they say to one another are some of the most cruel things that people ever experience in life. I've said to my wife, I've said to my kids that the high school years are some of the most cruel years of life. But what do kids say to one another? They're cruel. Sometimes, unfortunately, even siblings are cruel and even parents are cruel. But what every person needs to hear is that they are special and they're created by God for a purpose. Now, here's what I want us to understand about Saul. The reason I want to say this is Saul was given so much by God. And for you and I, what I want us to see and understand is everything that God gives us, everything, it's a gift from Him. And the Bible does teach us that unto whomsoever much is given, much will be required of them. That's accountability. That's not something that people want to hear. It's not something that people want to have preached. But accountability is, I'm accountable for the fact that God has allowed me to be able to see what He's allowed me to see in the Scripture. What did David pray in the 119th Psalm? He said, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." I'm accountable for the fact that I was raised by what the most God-fearing people I've ever known in my life. I told somebody the other day some of the things and characteristics about my dad, and they just kind of looked at me. And it's kind of like they didn't believe what I was saying. But some of you have had the privilege of being around people of God like that. I hear a lot of things about Pastor Quinn. My wife and I, and it's not just because y'all say this, but my wife and I, when we're not around this church, we say, we wish we could have known Pastor Quinn. We wish we could have sat under him and been a part of his ministry and the preaching that he did and the life that he did and the inspiration and the impact that he had on people. But guess what? If you got to, you're accountable for that. Because that's something that God gave you. When I look at this scripture, it's so simple. But folks, he wasn't blessed, and as great as he was, Saul, because of anything he did, God gave it to him. Let's look at the third verse. It says, "And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise and go to seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalah, but they found them not. And when they passed through the land of Shalem, and there they were not, and he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but he found them not." Now here's something I want you to see in this scripture. There were animals that belonged to Saul's father that were lost. But what this really is going to get into, and we're going to see it in just a minute, that God was devising a plan for Saul's life. Because God had a plan to send Saul to meet Samuel the prophet. Sometimes there are events that occur in our lives and we don't understand them, we don't want them. And here's where we have to be careful. Sometimes we blame God. But one thing I want you to understand, and you're going to see it in this story, is God knew exactly where those animals were at all the time. And the story, and the reason this is even mentioned, is not about those lost animals. It's actually about what God is going to do in Saul's life. So remember that as we read further. It says, "And he, speaking of Saul, passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalishah. But they found him not, and then they passed through the land of Shalem, and they were not, and he passed through the land of Benjamites, but they found him not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take up thought for us." Now, when I was reading this, I can't help, I want to share this with you. Something that I saw that I don't think is really that common anymore. Now, Brother Tom is up here praying, and one thing said was, this is not your world anymore. It's different. And we see something in Saul here that is actually a very good characteristic that I want to mention to you. He's out looking for these animals, and he begins to realize that we've been gone so long that my dad or my father, he's going to be more worried about us than he is about us, these beasts. You ever been there? You ever sent your kids to the store to get milk because you didn't want to get it and they've gone so long you want to get up and go looking for them? Okay, well, I believe they were gone for a period of time. And it's what this does is it demonstrates the character that Saul had. Okay, look at verse number 6. And it says, "And he said unto him, behold now," this is Saul, "there is in the city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. But now let us go thither peradventure. He can show us our way that we should go." Now here's something also that I think is rare. Now, as Christians, we believe this way, we pray this way, but folks, everybody doesn't. They had a problem, and they needed help with it, and they asked God. Now, I was talking to somebody the other day here at church, and I said, "Do you believe?" They said, "Do you really believe God answers the little things?" Yes. Now, my wife's nodding her head. When we want little things, yes, yes. How many of you have ever put a fuel pump on, you guys? Hey, you ever asked God, "Oh, please, God, help me get this last bolt in"? One time I was putting a steering sector on an old Jeep, and it was in the middle of the summer, and I'm laying on my back, and I got that thing propped up on my elbow, and I hate heat. I hate hot weather. We come in, Tommy said, "The heat wasn't even on." I said, "I didn't notice. Turn them ceiling fans on." But it was so hot. And I was laying there, and I was on my back, and I was actually trying to push my knee up to get it pried into the right place. And I prayed. Little things God hears. What did Saul say? "There's a man of God over here." God hears the little things. Now, folks, God hears the big things, too. He does, but God hears the little things. Now, I want you to see something, because in the day and time that they lived, they didn't have access exactly like we do. I want to read a verse of Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. This is talking about Samuel the prophet when he was a child. It says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days," which means it was rarely given. And it says there was no open vision. If you go over to chapter 9 and look at the 9th verse, we'll jump ahead. It says, "Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he thus spake, 'Come and let us go to the seer.' For he that is now called a prophet was before time a seer." Now Jesus said, "After I leave, I'll send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and he shall guide you and lead you in all things." Now, I got a little note here. Have you ever lost something in your house and asked God to help you find it? He helps you sometimes, doesn't he? And you know, when he does, remember what I said about the prayer request? You got your prayer request. You got the answer. Then what? How does it glorify God? See, because I think that's what it's all about, is glorifying God. So here's another good characteristic in Saul. He said, "There's a man of God over there." Even had confidence in him. He said, "Everything that he saith, it comes to pass. Now let us go to him." Okay? It's asking God. Then let's look at the 7th and 8th verse. I want you to see another principle here in this scripture. It's really another lesson. It says, "Then said Saul to his servant, 'But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we?' And the servant answered Saul again and said, 'Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way.'" Now here's the principle I want you to see in this. This is the principle of giving. Remember, this is the time in which the judges ruled. Okay? There wasn't a king before Saul. The judges ruled. God led the land. And here's something that's the principle of giving, and I was thinking about even in Awana. They have something called Go Night. And they come and they bring quarters, and we're teaching them from the earliest age up how important it is to give. And what I wish people could understand and give is giving sometimes is not even necessarily about the one you're giving to as much as it is you learning how to obey God. Because, you know, it's not that you give or you won't, but even keeping this building up, it costs money. Doing the things that we need to do at the church, it does cost money. I've been in those churches. You ever been in one to where every Sunday that's all they talk about is money? That's not feeding you. But the truth is, it does cost money. And another thing is, God has blessed us. Well, you see another characteristic. You see these characteristics after characteristics in Saul of what he understood. He understood the principle of giving. Remember, his dad was a mighty man of power, and God had blessed him. And you see these characteristics, and as we get on into Saul's life, you wonder what happened to this man. Now let's go to the 10th verse and read. It says, "Then said Saul to his servant, 'Well said, come and let us go.' So they went into the city where the man of God was. And as they went up to the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, 'Is the seer here, or the prophet, or Samuel?' And they answered them and said, 'He is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore, get you up, for about this time you shall find him.'" It says, "And they went up to the city, and when they were come to the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go to the high place." And here's something I want us to see in this. God's working his plan. Remember what I said, it's not about lost animals. Sometimes what God does in our life, we may not understand it exactly, but God's always got a plan if you're a child of God. Okay, now, God has the ability, and he has the ability to work his plan. Now, all God's looking from us, and folks, I believe with all my heart that God limits himself to give us free will. God wasn't going to force Saul, just like God's not going to force you and I, but God will do everything to get things lined up to help you, to teach you, to lead you down the path that you need to go, but you got to follow. Now, they're on their way. They meet maidens. They say, "Is a seer here?" "Oh, yeah, he's here today." Why? Because there's a sacrifice. And he's going up, but they're going to wait on him. They won't eat till he gets up there. And just about that time, sometimes people say, "Well, by chance. By chance, Samuel was here today. And by chance, he came walking out right at the time that they walked up." I heard a lady giving her testimony who was called. It really had this burden about the school systems and getting the gospel in the school systems in a particular state. And she said, "I had this overwhelming passion and desire. I didn't have any idea how I was going to do it or even get my message out." And she said, "I was on a plane flying." She gave from state to state across the country. And I was sitting there and I got to, you know, just talking to this lady sitting beside me. And I kind of told her the things that were on my heart. And as I talked to her, I said, "Oh, by the way, what do you do?" And she said, "Well, I'm over all the school systems of the particular state that you're talking about." She said, "I almost choked." I said, "Excuse me." She said she got up, went into the restroom, and then prayed and put her head on the wall. And she heard the Holy Spirit ask this question. And this lady was doing a Bible study, and it was talking about where the little boy had 2 fishes and 5 loaves. And what God did with it. And she said, "The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, 'I can do a lot with a little, but I first have to have your lunch.'" God has the ability to do things that we cannot do. And in this case, the animals went missing. Maybe, I don't know, God sent Gabriel to open the gate. Don't laugh. God let him out so that he could get Saul out to the place that he could meet Samuel, because God had a plan for Saul's life. And in order for Saul to get started, he had to get in the presence of this man of God. And let's go on and read what happens. It says, "And now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear that day, before Saul came, saying, 'Tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin,
And thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that they may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people because their cry is coming to me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, Behold the man whom I spake to thee of. This man shall reign over my people. Look at all the messages right here in this scripture. What does the scripture say? Said the Lord told Samuel in his ear. Does God speak to us? Yes, he does. What we have to do, and I think this is very important in the Christian walk, I don't think there's ever enough emphasis on this, is we have to learn how to have spiritual discernment that we can hear what God is saying to us. And here's how you develop spiritual discernment. When you hear the Holy Spirit speak, obey what the Holy Spirit says. Because the more you obey what the Holy Spirit says, the more God's going to speak, the more you're going to recognize His voice. Remember what Saul has already said about Samuel? He said, everything he says, it comes to pass. Why? Because Samuel, from the time he was a child, remember when he was in Eli's house? This is Hannah's son, and she took him up to dedicate him to the Lord because she made that commitment to God. And he's laying there in the bed, and he hears a voice. And he jumps up, and he runs and goes into the room where Eli is at, and he said, Did you call? And the prophet said, No, Eli, the prophet, no, it wasn't me, son. Go lay back down. He runs in there again. He says, That's the Lord. When the Lord speaks to you, listen. And he learned from a child up how to listen to God so that he had a reputation of knowing what God said. Well, here he is, he's a seer, and he's listening, and God speaks in his ear, and he looks, and here comes Saul. And in the 17th verse, it says, The Lord said unto him. Now, I want to tell you, you got to be careful. Every now and then you get those people, and pastors deal with this, they'll call and say, I have a word for your church. And you'll say, well, okay, what is it? No, I need to be able to deliver it on Sunday morning. Well, you're not going to tell them unless you tell me. Okay? We got to protect the pulpit, amen? But how about you and your relationship with God? I heard a pastor one time say this to a young man, and it's one of those things that, you know, I've told you the story of getting a song book. And I can't stand to see people mistreat God's people in the name of God. There's a young man come up to the pastor, and I remember standing over and hearing this, and he began to tell him the things that were in his heart, like God was calling him to a particular ministry, and the pastor just kind of snubbed his nose up. And he said this. He said, huh? He said, well, how can God tell you anything? He said, because the first thing, if God tells you anything, he's going to tell me first and I'm going to know about it. And God ain't said nothing to me about it, so it probably don't mean nothing. Now, let me tell you something. God don't tell me how you are going to hear from him. He speaks to you and he leads you by his Holy Spirit because you're his child. Okay? And the Bible says for every person to work out their own salvation with fear and with trembling. I cannot represent the Holy Spirit of God to you. What my job is to study, to preach, to teach the Word, to help, to guide, to do anything I can to help. But I cannot replace the Holy Spirit in your life. And what we see and what we need to understand for us in the lesson here is we need to learn how to listen to God. That's why every time I open this book, I don't have a problem with you sitting back there making sure I'm reading right. I don't have a problem if I quote a verse and I don't get it exactly right. You want to come up to me after church and say, are you sure that's in there? Now, I've had them do that in Sunday school. They say, show me where that's at. I said, okay, where's my iPad? I like that iPad. It took me a long time to look those verses up before I got it. Now, we know that Samuel was a prophet. But I want to ask you a question. You think God cares for any preacher more than he cares for you? No. Do you think that there's anything that God would want to give one person more than he'd want to give you? You're his child. We are his offspring. We are his children. And the truth is, we can be as close to him as we want to be. It's a personal thing. That's why, and I believe this with all my heart, that anybody who has a personal relationship with God, the absolute most intimate times of worship that you're going to have, it's going to be you and God. Now, I love coming to church. I do, and I enjoy being here. I love to preach. I love to teach. But I want to tell you, when I really feel intimate in my relationship with God, it's me and God going down the road, or it's me and God sitting in the deer stand, or it's me and God walking down a dirt road, or it's me and God on the John Deere. I love that. Because I know Him. And as Brother Tommy mentioned, He's my best friend. You can get close to Him, but in order to hear from Him, you got to listen. I can't even get through one chapter. I don't know how I thought I was going to get through five. Look at verse number 18. It says, Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me into the high place, for ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. Now, I don't know if you've ever run into somebody that you knew when you met them they had a touch of God on them. Saul was looking for the man of God. And the man of God was looking for Saul. He says, I'm going to tell you all that's in your heart. In other words, I have a message from God for you. And you know, I've had people say that to me and the Spirit didn't bear witness. But I've had people say that to me and I want to tell you, my ears get so wide I look like Dumbo. It was a very welcoming reception from Samuel to Saul. And there was something about the spirit of Samuel. Remember, Saul, a young man, that caused Saul to follow him. See, I've learned to pay attention when a man of God has something to say to me. And there's been particular men of God in my life. And we had a preacher here several weeks ago that preached on Sunday morning, Brother Garland Odom. And when I met Garland Odom, Garland Odom was already retired from pastoring, but when I met him, I knew he was one of those kind of men. And every chance I ever get to hear him preach or to be around him or to talk to him, and I got to talk to him on the phone this week, he called me. And I was honored. Just to be honest with you, I kind of look at it like this right here where Samuel says to Saul, come on up here and sit with me. Garland Odom called me and he talked to me for a few minutes. Of course, he said, you know, I don't mean to take up your time. I thought, I got all day. That's how I thought of that man. And when I run into somebody like that and I have those people in my life, it's an honored privilege to be able to be around them and listen to them. And I've heard certain preachers and I've got some that I really hold in high regard because I think they're really honorable men of God that every chance. And I believe that's what I see here. And then listen to the 20th verse. And I'm just going to read a couple more and we'll close. Here is Samuel speaking to Saul. And he says, And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. It's almost like, oh, by the way, those animals that... You know, you lost 3 days ago that you thought all this was about. Don't worry about them. They're found. What did I say? God knew where they were at all along, right? And then he speaks to him and he says, And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? It's like this. Of more concern than those animals is you and your future and what God has planned for you. Remember, it's not about the animals. It's about Saul finding God's plan. And sometimes when we face things in our life, we need to remember that. Romans 8:28 says, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose.
That's why sometimes when the road is rough or the road's difficult, we don't understand. You know, I'm going to tell you something what happens in my life when it gets bumpy. I get to looking. I mean, when it gets bumpy, I fall to my knees as fast as I can, and I got my binoculars. And I'm looking for where God is at in the midst of the storm. And I've learned that because I believe Him. And I want to be that way. And the truth is, doesn't the Scripture say in the New Testament, there is no temptation taken you except that which is common to man. And with every temptation, there will also be made a way of escape. Now here's something I want you to understand, and I'm going to close. When you grow in your relationship with God, and you look back at past victories, one thing to understand, the God that helped you there will help you in the future. But the battle that you face tomorrow is going to be a little bit more intense than the one you faced yesterday. Okay? An example of that, you look in Scripture, is King David. King David went out and he was keeping his father's sheep as a lad. And he said, a bear came out and I slew him. And a lion came out and I slew him. And he's standing there telling this to this same King Saul, saying, that Philistine over there, that giant, the same God that helped me fight that bear, that helped me fight that lion, is going to help me fight that giant. Now what we need to understand is that God's the same. But if He didn't have something in that next battle to teach us about Him and about ourselves, if it were easier than yesterday, we wouldn't be learning anything. Remember, by the way, your animals are found. Not about the animals. Amen? I can't get through this chapter. I thought I got too much time, but I don't. I want to tell you something. The life of Saul is amazing. And as we get into the lessons, you're going to realize there's so much that God has to teach us. Because all the blessings that we have, and God has blessed this church, He's blessed us, we don't want to let what happened to us happen to Saul. Happened to Saul, happened to us. Amen? Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. I hope something I said tonight was a blessing to you. We'll try to get back into some more of it next week.